Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the Feast of the Epiphany, 2008. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about. All are gathered and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of the nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you, dromedaries from Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba shall come, bearing gold and frankincense, and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you.
Lord, every nation on earth will adore you.
O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice, and your afflicted ones with judgment.
Lord, every nation on earth will adore you.
Justice shall flower in his days, and profound peace till the moon be no more. May he rule from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth.
Lord, every nation on earth will adore you.
The kings of Tarshish and the isles offer gifts. The kings of Arabia and Seba shall bring tribute. All kings shall pay him homage. All nations shall serve him.
Lord, every nation on earth will adore you.
For he shall rescue the poor when he cries out, and the afflicted when he has no one to help him. He shall have pity for the lowly and the poor. The lives of the poor he shall save.
Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation. It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising, and have come to do him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly, and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage. After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello, and thank you for joining us this week. I'm Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everybody.
And we're going to discuss these readings that we've heard for the Epiphany. And Don, I guess a good place for us to start would be to talk about what the epiphany or an epiphany is. Many people might say they've had epiphanies, which would be just kind of a sudden revelation. It could be a revelation of God in this case, as we're talking about, but any kind of sudden revelation, such as this morning when I got up and looked at my phone and saw that you'd called to remind me we hadn't done a podcast yet. And hence, we've had this epiphany and are trying to get it out, even though it is late, so we do apologize to our listeners. But the epiphany we're talking about today, of course, is the revelation of God to the world. And the church celebrates this as being the real revelation to the entire world, because we've got these three magi who aren't part of the Jewish tradition coming in and realizing who God is, or realizing who Christ is as the King of the Jews, and coming before him to worship him. And so in this sense, we say God has now been revealed not just to the shepherds or to the people who are right around the whole birth here in Bethlehem, but to the whole world at this point, to people outside of just this Jewish covenant. And so that's what the Epiphany is all about. It's this revelation of God revealing, this act of God revealing himself to the world. And Don, I know you were talking a little about this whole idea of revelation earlier, and I know you had some thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, it's a feast about revelation and then response. And so I started thinking about response, and I've been reading this book, which I just finished. And in it, it talks about, let's see how I can put this eloquently, the least amount of words. It talks about how God doesn't give us expectations and responsibilities. Those are nouns, obviously. God is more like a verb, and he asks us to be in response in our relationships, to have response, and also to live in expectancy. And so that just sort of revolutionized, that was my own personal epiphany this week, because if you think about the difference, I can have a responsibility that every day I have to, you know, say 14 prayers, versus I sense that God is asking me to go and work with the poor in this certain area. And so just the revelation, how different that is. And although we're getting a little bit away from the feast today, I think it ties in nicely.
Well, yeah, and I think you're right. I don't think it's really getting away from it at all, because it is that response to God, that revelation. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on in the gospel. It's the response that we get from both. We see two different responses, of course, and I've mentioned this before in the podcast. We see the response of Herod, which is, I want to kill the king because I view him as a threat to me. And we see the response of the Magi, who sit here and say, we want to worship him and bow down prostrate and before him. But it is, you're right, that this whole thing of salvation is all about entering into right relationship with God. And that's ultimately what this feast is God has revealed himself, and now how does humanity, or how do we as individuals, respond to that? And it can't be something where, like you said, God gives us, you know, here's what I want you to do, kind of a laundry list, and you go through the motions of it. It has to be some kind of an interior conversion where you become active in the response. So certainly it doesn't mean, you know, oh, I don't need to do anything then, or I don't need to, right, you know, show up for Mass or something like that. But it does mean that showing up for Mass isn't the goal. The goal is to have some kind of a conversion from that. Or, you know, saying your prayers isn't the goal. I mean, to rush through, you know, 20 Our Fathers and not think about any of the words that you just said in those 20 Our Fathers is not the goal. The goal is to have some kind of a conversion by thinking about what it is I'm saying when I'm saying these prayers, or, you know, what it is I'm saying through my actions, you know, if I'm going to serve people, or, you know, even in my everyday life, what am I saying in my job by the way I act? Am I acting like a Christian, or is that something that I only do on Sundays because I haven't really been called to a conversion? And the other thing about conversion is we're constantly called to conversion. We're constantly called to deeper response into the life of God. So we can't ever reach a perfection. Nobody is perfect in that response. Not even Father Mark has a perfect, you know, relationship with God. And we're all called every day to a deeper sense of that conversion. And so the real thing here is, can we recognize every day that revelation, and can we have an epiphany every day? And how do we respond to those epiphanies in our life?
As I was preparing something, a weekly catechesis we hand out to adults, one of the questions that I ended up phrasing was, how have I been an epiphany of God's love for someone else? And that was interesting for me because I think a lot of times we ask the question, how has someone else helped me to see God? But rarely do we turn it back on ourselves and say, well, how have I been that way for someone else? So, Brian, I'll ask you, how can you think of a time when you have been an epiphany of God's love for someone else?
Wow, you're going to put me on the spot.
I know. Well, you're a fast thinker.
Well, I mean, I think there are many times when, and I think one of the things that we always get into the danger with this question is it kind of feels like we're patting ourselves on the back, and we don't always want to do that. But I think that there have been, you know, times I can think of when I was at St. Mary's, you know, with the RCIA, and I think I was received well by that group, and I don't mean to be, you know, patting myself on the back saying, oh, I was such a revelation to them. But I do think that through that program, definitely there were people that whose lives I touched, especially the person who I was a sponsor for in a very deep way. I think people that I've worked with on marriage prep as well. It's another real powerful experience. But also where people kind of look to me for, you know, some sign of God present in their life or to help them understand how God is present in their lives and in their upcoming marriage. So I think those are two ways when I can think of, you know, types of things where I've been able to do that for other people. I think it's definitely much easier for us, though, to talk about, you know, how we've seen God in others or something, or how other people have been the epiphany for us. But I think you're right. There is a sense where we need to get both sides of that, where we need to understand ourselves as being an epiphany for others, because ultimately what that leads us to is a sense that we are called to evangelize the world. And that can be very difficult to do. I was talking to you earlier about this theme of the secular world that we live in, which oftentimes doesn't even acknowledge that there's a need for God. And of course, the easy way to point that out is to look at, you know, advertising, where we're kind of told, you know, if you have these certain products, your life will be fulfilled. You don't need God. They never say if you have these certain products and a really nice prayer life, you know, your life will be fulfilled. It's, you know, if you've got the latest Mercedes or the Ford that you can talk to and it'll play your music, then your life will be fulfilled. And obviously, as Christians, we'd say that's not the case. We do believe that our lives can only be fulfilled when we're resting in God. And ultimately, that means they're never going to be fulfilled in this lifetime. But that can be a hard message for people in our society to hear, because our society does kind of compartmentalize religion and kind of say that's something you should just do on Sundays, but the rest of the time you need to be focusing on getting these material goods and then you'll be happy, or you need to worry about your retirement and make sure you're set for the future so that you can be happy. My spiritual director kind of talks about Disney World, where I was recently on vacation, as being the epitome of the secular mindset. He said, because you can go to Disney World and have no sense that you need anything outside of Disney World. And there's some truth in that. And I think that that's what we're called to be when we are evangelizing the world as an epiphany to others, is this realization, hey, you need something beyond this superficial. And you even need something beyond human relationships, because ultimately those, while they might be more fulfilling than, you know, a new iPod or something, ultimately, they don't completely fulfill us. We're only completely fulfilled when we have the right relationship with God.
And that relationship takes a lot of work. It's not just a one-time easy, let's just do this. It's a commitment, a daily, almost a moment-by-moment commitment that, yes, I'll follow you, I'll live in response to whatever you're saying, all the way for following all the way to the cross, which isn't always easy, anytime easy.
And it's a difficult thing, like you were saying, but it's also something, too, where we can't be discouraged. And it's very easy to become discouraged. Right. Sometimes we don't have these big epiphany moments, and we're kind of going through motions or something, you know. And occasionally, you know, we'll have big big revelations, you know, usually at big momentous points in our lives. You know, it could be for people, you know, for at their wedding, at a funeral, those types of things. At these big occasions, we definitely can kind of say where we see the need for God, but we do need God in our everyday life, and to be kind of aware of that as we move through our lives is part of the process of growing into that relationship, like you said. And it's, and as I mentioned earlier, it's an ongoing process. It's never complete. It's something that we have to continue to keep growing into, because as we grow into it, we realize there's so much further we could go. The further you get into it, the realization comes upon you as to how much further there is to go. And I can say right now that with our podcast, there's not much further to go.
All right.
We are coming to the end of our podcast, and so we thank you for joining us this week and hope you'll be back next week to join us on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.